71307. Again, that's Post Office Box 5791, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. And if you need prayer, call us at 318-715-8920. 318-715-8920. Be blessed of the Lord, for God is still on the throne.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for this privilege and this honor today to hear your word. Meet us in the text that we are teaching today. Tailor the truth that every hearer's heart might hear, see, and understand, and thus practice the principles for profit and give you the praise. We ask it all in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all the believers said, amen. God bless you. Have you ever wondered why many of the biblical characters who dealt with and faced some of the greatest opponents and problems, obstacles and situations, how they were able to stand firm and tall and trust God when it seemed like there was no favorable outcome? Have you ever wondered how they could do what they did? And when you look at your own life, you see there's no way you could have possibly have done that. Well, I want to reveal the secret of their hidden power. And I want us to go into the Word of God. Very familiar verse of Scripture, and it's just one verse I want to lift out for our understanding, just so that we can capture the principle, because we're really talking about hidden help. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're talking about hidden help. You see, it's obvious with the visible help what your help source is, and it's visible not only to you and to those who are watching you, but the greatest power and the greatest help comes in the invisibility of the help and the source that's able to cause you to conquer when your enemy thinks you've been overcome. Psalms number 119, verse 11 simply states, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. God bless you. Sit down.
All right, now. Thank you, Pastor.
Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. The first thing I want to share, which is that there are two principles that I want us to look at as it relates to what I've just said to you. The first is that Christians whose lives are characterized by dedication, discipline, and dependability have all taken the Word of God and hidden it in their hearts.
Everybody that you know that's able to stand the test of time, go through the storms, deal with the difficulties, et cetera, are characterized by the reality of what the Word has produced in them. Have you ever looked at your own life sometime and you wonder how you got through? How you made it, because you know, you remember you in your former thinking, and you remember you and how you would have operated or reacted to a certain thing, but because you hid the Word in your heart, the Word of God started doing some things in you that you were not altogether cognizant of or aware of, and before you know it, the Word of God had shut your mouth when you would have said something. The Word of God changed your mind when you would have thought something. The Word of God gave you a whole different insight and a whole different power to control and to calm yourself so that God could get the glory and then ultimately you get the good. But I want to share something else. Just as the Word is characterized by those who hide the Word in their hearts, again, through dedication and discipline and dependability, the truth of the matter is those who have not hidden the Word in their hearts are most times hounded by doubts, dissatisfaction, disobedience, and disbelief. Why? Because they cannot do it on their own. Paul said in the time in his life, there were times when he wanted to do good, but he didn't choose to do those things that were good. He did the things that were evil. Then he decided, as he continued to realize that it was a spiritual warfare, he said every time he would attempt to do good, evil was always present. Now listen at this. Because evil was present, it was viewable through the actions and or activities of the enemy. Maybe he didn't always see the enemy, because I got news for you. The enemy is present even when you can't see him. But through his action and through his activities and his ambitions, you will see him through those realities. You're able to discern him. The Word of God is the one that gives you that reality. And so he recognized, even Paul, that there are some things you want to do right, but without the Word of God, you don't have the power to do that. Don't think that you've got that kind of strength that you're any match for the devil. In and of yourself. I don't care how saved you think you are, without the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you're no match, because you're talking about spiritual realities. And flesh and blood is a different reality from supernatural reality. But then I want to share something else with you, because Psalm 119 has a threefold theme. The whole Psalm 119, this is the longest chapter in the Word of God. I want you to see what the threefold theme is. The first thing is, it deals with the revelation of the sovereign. Revelation of the sovereign, meaning it reveals how God is in control of everything. The theme, first theme that really comes out of Psalm 119 is the revelation of the sovereign. But the second thing that comes out of this long chapter is the responsibility of the saints. The responsibility of the saints. Now, it's important to realize, if God is sovereign and he rules and super rules, as the old saints say, the truth of the matter is we have a responsibility to this sovereign God, so that we will understand that because we are called by his name, there is a certain standard he's expecting us to operate out of. But then how do we understand how to operate according to that standard? And then the third thing that the theme deals with is the reliability of Scripture. The reliability of Scripture. In other words, Jesus has already declared that heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle of his word shall ever pass away. The reliability of Scripture is simply this. God is not a man that he should lie. Every word of God is pure, and God is faithful who promised any and everything he has declared. So when we understand the responsibility that we have to the reliability of Scripture, if God said it, that ought to settle it without any question or without any doubt. One of the things that you see again in this, going back to the first reality of the theme, is that God is sovereign. Now, the Scripture reveals this, But the truth of the matter is that until you are able to grasp that revelation, until you are able to understand that revelation, you will never realize the power of God's sovereignty. Which means this, that when you really understand it, you begin to realize that there is nothing that happens to your life, nothing you deal with, come in contact with, or happens with you that God has not already seen and taken care of. When you realize He's sovereign, you realize the devil can't sneak you without God knowing about it. You realize that God is in control of every situation and circumstance when you realize His sovereignty and nobody can stop Him. And so when we get to this point, then we begin to understand this word and understand why the psalmist says and declares what he says. Because I got news for you. Maybe you might not experience it on David's level, but true enough, you're going to come into situations and circumstances in your life because God never will allow you to handle more, deal with more than you can handle. So wherever the level is, it's still going to have the intensity where it feels like you're going through what David is going through. But you're going to realize that you're either going to fail or succeed based on these principles that I'm going to reveal to you as it relates to the hidden help. First thing that he says is thy word. So write down the word precepts, because this is what he's dealing with, precepts, the instructions, the understanding of what God's word is saying to you. See, it's one thing to just read the word. It's one thing to hear the word. It's another thing to understand the word. And too many believers sit here Sunday after Sunday looking in my face and looking in the word of God and seeing the word written and hearing the word preached and walk out of here void of understanding. And so they are defeated in their daily lives, and the enemy is taking control more and more of them while they pretend to be getting and gaining what God has for them, and it is not evident in their daily experience. You know, when you can hear the word and don't be changed by the word, it's clear you've not gotten a revelation of the word. And it amazes me how folk can sit under the word and still not accept the truth of the word and or the experience that causes the word to change them. You can't change yourself. Only the word can change you. But you've got to give the word root so that it can do what it is designed to do. So precept. So the first thing he says is thy word. Want to be clear about what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about their word or someone else's word or my word. I'm talking about your word. Yeah. Thy word, that word that's infallible, that word that is pure, that is true, that is strong, that is reliable, that is everlasting, that is all that God has designed it to be, thy word. That word that shall never pass away. He deals with this precept because when you hold on to God's word, you have God to hold on to. I say when you hold on to God's word, you have God to hold on to, because God and His word are inseparable. God's not going to say one thing that He does not mean. And He does not say anything that He does not want to come to pass. And so when we can take His word and learn His word as an instructional truth, that meaning if we practice His word, we have His promise that He will provide through His word everything He said. That is a precept that the believer has got to come to grips with, because when the revelation of that really hits you, your life will be changed and transformed, and you will begin to experience life on a whole nother order, because you're not looking for you or man to bring it to pass. You're believing in a God who never lies and a God who is all-powerful and a God who's so sovereign that all of the world could be against you, but if God is for you, it don't make no difference. It's going to come out just like He said. When you understand that, the precepts, and understand it with the fullness of understanding, I promise you, when you begin to apply it to your life and the situations of your life, you will see things change, because the first change will happen in you. Yes. Precept, thy word. But then notice here, when he gets the precept, he also then has to engage in the process. Write down process, because this is important. You see, once you get the truth, then you got to practice the truth. The truth don't just work in and of itself, by itself. It is meant to be practiced. I mean, it's just the same as a physical illustration. You go to the doctor and he prescribes medicine. You go to the pharmacist, you pick up the medicine, and you take the medicine in your hand and you read the label and you see what you're supposed to do, but you don't do it. Now, my question to you is, though the medicine is in your hand and you've read the directions, the question, or the instructions, the question is, will it work in your hand rather than taking it the way that it is prescribed to be taken? No. And if you have this understanding that the only way this medicine is going to work in my body is if I unscrew the cap, take it out, and take it as it has been prescribed to take, then and only then can I expect it to do what it's been designed to do. Well, a whole lot of you carry the Word of God in your hand. And some of you only carry it once a week when you come into church. Some of you might come to Bible study, so that's twice a week. But very few of us do more than pick it up twice a week and take it. You see, you have to open up the covers. And then you have to go into the Word of God. And when you go into the Word of God, after praying and saying, Lord, reveal your word to me, let your spirit give me understanding, then that word that you have gone into can then begin to go into you. Now listen at this. When you first open it up, it goes in your head. You see, because all you're doing is going through and reading, because your head doesn't always get the fullness of understanding the revelation of the rhema of the word. That has to be meditated upon. That has to be sought by the Spirit of God to give the truth and the understanding. And then as you continue to meditate upon that word that you've now got in your head, it then enters into your heart. And that's important, because the process is so important that unless you understand why you're still in the predicament you're in, it's because you are not allowing the word that you do know to reach a place in you where you literally take the written word out of the book through your eyes and through your mind, meditate upon it until it gets in your heart. Nothing is really going to change until it gets to your heart. See, how many of us honestly can say, Pastor, I know a whole lot of scripture I don't practice? Every hand in the house ought to go up. Because you know some scripture that you are not practicing. It's in your head, but it's not in your heart. And so until it gets in your heart, then and only then through this process are you going to be able to practice it. And that's important, because again, you're going over the same thing. You, Lord, why is this happening to me? Because you ain't let the word get in your heart so the change can come about, so that you can be in position, so that God will do in you, to you, through you, with you, and for you what he desires to do. You keep trying to do it yourself. You can't do it yourself. The scripture has taught you that, but you're still hung up in your head. You've got to meditate on the word and allow the word to get in your heart so that the first change and transformation starts in you. Listen at this. Have I hid? Now the next thing he reveals is the place in my heart. The place. That's important. Because you've got the precept and you've got the process. But what matters most is where you place that. Thy word have I hid on my nightstand. Thy word have I hid wherever you put your Bible. That don't work. You're going to realize that the word must be mixed with faith. And it is in your heart where that word comes alive at. You've got to read it, and then you've got to meditate and understand it so that that word mixed with your faith comes alive. And see, my brothers and sisters, one of the things that you got to realize is the word says, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You got to keep that word in a constant motion of hearing and reading and moving into the inward parts of your existence. Now, listen at this. He has placed, he has hid God's word in his heart. God's not going to come down here and do that for you. Thy word. Precepts. Have I hid? Process. In mine heart, place. Why is that an important place? Because here's what you need to know. Most times when the enemy attacks you, your Bible ain't in your hand. Is there a witness in the house here? Your greatest attacks have not come while you've been reading the Bible. It's when you shut it up and put it down somewhere and gone on about your daily chores or your duties, etc. And then the enemy attacks you and you ain't got that reference that you can go run, pick up and thumb through and start reading again. So you have to make the word portable.
All right. Yes, sir.
I may have left the Bible on my nightstand, but I got the word in my heart. And wherever I go, the word goes with me. And anywhere I can fit this body in, I can fit the word of God in with it. So no matter what tight squeeze you're in, they can bind your hands where you can't flip pages. But it still doesn't hinder you from getting the word that is rooted in your heart. And that's what we've got to understand. That's why we got to put it in that place. Because you can be driving. Pop was driving this morning. And I cut off somebody and started blowing the horn. And I'm like, man, don't get my car tow up here like this. Jesus. I had to pray right quick so my heart and spirit be right. That sister driving that Cadillac, she was playing and blowing too, praying and blowing. I'm like, get on your side. See, she could have got, you know, blown all out of proportion on that. But when you got the word in your heart, how many of you know it'll keep you? Now, how many times have you been cut off and wanted to curse? Come on, be real with me here. And ain't nobody was in the car. You could have went on and cussed. But his word. God bless you. Go ahead on. Have I got a witness in the house? That's why you got to put it in. When you're on your job. Dealing with those evil employees or evil employer, and you know that you're not treated the way you ought to be treated, and there are some things you could say and things you could do, but his word is placed in your heart, and you ain't got to pick up no manual to read how to operate in the will of God because you know it. And you got to pray for those who despitefully got to turn the other cheek. I mean, you got to get to the point where you know and understand this. Be patient and understand vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I will repay. You got to understand some things that without the word being in your heart, you're subject to get yourself in greater trouble and have greater problems than what you're dealing with presently. So you got to make sure that the word is in you, your heart, that place that travels with you. And God is there in that word, in your heart. And the last thing I want you to see about this word is the purpose. The precept is his word. That I have hid is the process. In my heart is the place. But the purpose is so important that I might not sin against thee. Now listen to this. David recognized how important it was to understand that all of our sin is before God. No matter whether man sees it or not, knows it or not, it's been revealed to him or not, the true sin before the one that matters the most is God. In the 51st Psalm, David deals with this and he said, my sin is ever before me. In thy sight, he says, I've done this great sin. You know, when it all boils down to it, what keeps you from truly sinning and living a life of sin is knowing that your sin disappoints your Father. Yeah. knowing that though we're still made of dust and divinity, flesh and spirit, there is a war that goes on every day in this flesh. And in order for me to fight against the wiles of the devil with all of his tricky cunning and evil ways, I've got to get more word in me every day, meditate upon it day and night, so that it will continue to strengthen me and make me stronger against the temptations that are brought before me. I yield to temptation because I ain't got enough word in my heart. Listen to me. You got to understand, when the devil knows you know the word, he intensifies the temptation. So just as the devil every day reloads on you and hits you with a greater level of intensity every day. That's why the psalmist says day and night, Psalm 1. Do I meditate in your word? Why? Because every day the enemy's attack are going to get stronger and stronger. They don't have to be different. He can just intensify what he's already doing. And though I made it through the day, I need some more word in me for tomorrow, because he's going to come back and hit me with his best shot. How many of you were able to keep from doing something the day before, but then the next day you gave in? Come on, y'all acting all holier than thou. I'm trying to tell you, just because you made it through that one day, you need some more fresh supply of what you've got to make it through the next day. That I may not sin against you, God. Because that's who really matters. That's who's really going to judge me. That's who really matters in the end when all things are said and done. It's God. And so that's why David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Let's turn there, if you don't mind. I want you to see that. Let's see this psalm, because this is the reason why he hides God's word in his heart, because that's where the devil gets in and creates havoc. Listen at this. David says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Psalm 51, verse 1. I thought y'all knew that. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Isn't that what he's telling God? Lord, not according to me, but according to your tender mercies, your multitude of tender mercies, blot out. Now, he didn't say put a little dab on it. He said blot it out so you can't even read what's underneath the mark. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities, vainness, foolishness, and nothingness, and cleanse me from my sin. Can I tell you what your sin is? That's the sin of pleasure. That's the sin of passion. That's the sin that you personally engage in more often than not. See, there's a sin that the enemy puts on you, but there's one that you practice in. That's your sin. That's why he took ownership of it. My sin. Now, if we'll be real about this, while sin displeases and disappoints God, all sin is not displeasurable to the flesh. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? You might have to say, God, forgive me, but you really ain't sorry. Oh, there y'all go again. And you have to take the mind of Christ and realize, because it displeases him, I'm displeased because I know it displeases him, not because it displeases me. I like it. But it
good for me. Might be good to me, but it ain't good. Touch your neighbor and say, can we keep it real for a minute? Touch your neighbor. I know you might not be wanting to touch him, but touch him and tell him, can we keep it real? That's my sin.